I was looking through some newspaper archives and I found an article about an incident that happened at Disneyland in, I think, late 50s, early 60s. So just a few years after the park opened. Mm-hmm. It's like a police report. This little kid that runs up to a security guard holding a package. The kid is holding a package and he's running toward a security guard. And the security guard just tells the kid, hey, get out of here. You can't have that package. And so then the kid's dad comes up. And I'm paraphrasing this. I'm sure I'm not getting it exactly right. But the kid's dad drives up, because it's at the front of the park, mm-hmm. and he rolls down the window. Something you can do. Because the train station's right behind them. And he didn't need to like take a left at the Earl of Sandwich. It's just a parking lot. Right. Like, you're straight up right next to the entrance of Disneyland. And the security guards are, hey, your son has a package. And then this dad starts mouthing off to him. The security guard walks over to the car and just pops the dad in the mouth a couple times. And so the police report is the dad going to the real police and saying, hey, a guard at Disneyland assaulted me while I was in my vehicle. And so then it sent me down a rabbit hole, because today Disney security is very well run, to my knowledge. And they're using a lot of advanced technology, and they're working very closely with on-site sheriffs. It's a huge operation, especially at Walt Disney World and even at Disneyland. We have 3 hotels on-site. We have 2 giant theme parks. We have an entire shopping district. But back when it opened, and it was just 1 theme park and 1 parking lot. And so I started going down the rabbit hole of, what was the Disneyland security like when the park opened? And more than that, what were the problems that they were dealing with? And I found a few articles that I want to read to you and get your reactions on.
Okay.
Youths discover mermaids, quote, real. 2 Los Angeles youths are in hot water today after diving into a cool lagoon at Disneyland. It's a very fun article, as you can tell. At Disneyland, quote, to find out if those mermaids are real. Benjamin Glick and Scott Torp Rathsom, 2 men with names that prove they are from the past.
What was the second name?
Scott Torp Rathsom. Were apprehended moments after their deep sea plunge by Disneyland security officers, who trailed them, eyes glued to their dripping water tracks, from the submarine lagoon in Tomorrowland to the park's main street.
And this happens with any Disney body of water that people like to jump into, where it's like, the hard part's not getting in the water. Because you assume that the second I jump off the bridge, they're going to tackle me somehow. No, you're in the water, you pulled it off, but now what?
Yeah.
The now what moment of, I'm in World Showcase Lagoon.
Right.
And I don't know what my next step is other than to get out and then get caught.
And you also know they have 3 layers of security. You're never getting out of the park.
Yeah.
But back in 1959 or 1960, when Benjamin Glick and Scott Torp Rathsom,
that rapscallion,
that they jumped in to the lagoon, and then they get out, and then they make it all the way to Main Street before they're caught. And if it had not been for the footprints they were making from being in the lagoon, they might have gotten away with it.
Yeah, and the being soaking wet part.
Right. What's really going to happen is these 2 are going to run out the gates, and then the security guard that's manning the front gate is going to see 2 soaking wet boys run into the parking lot, and they're going to say, well, that's strange, and not think twice of it.
They're not going to think, I got to go get those guys. They are clearly up to something.
The youths admitted their swim, witnessed by several thousand Disneyland guests, quote, was on a bet with some friends, but they told Disneyland officials, all the animation out here is so real, we just had to be sure about those gals. Because remember, this is back when there were real mermaids in the lagoon.
Actually swimming.
Real women.
Wiki-watchy style.
That had to dress like mermaids and get up on a rock.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these 2 boys were just so hopped up on their own horniness.
I was going to say, they're just all...
they're shaking.
The siren call of the Disneyland mermaids. I need to jump. I need to plunge into this lagoon. It's like, there's not even enough room to land without hitting the submarines. Where are they jumping? They're like diving past
4 feet deep.
Oh, the Disneyland siren call of the diesel lagoon. And these 2 sunburnt Californians.
They were not blonde when they were higher. Their hair's just been dyed with the chlorine.
It smells terrible. The fumes. I just can't take it. And then I take off my shoes and I dive in. I have to wait for the submarine to pass like I'm playing some kind of Aqua Frogger. The pretty, quote, mermaids, Disneyland employees Jean Carroll. Don't give me their names. And the newspaper's like, and the Disneyland mermaids, the ones that the boys thought were very attractive, are Jean Carroll, 24, and Sharon Jackson, 20. They live at 24 Parkway. We're mightily surprised, Denizens of the deep. I was swimming around the lagoon, our usual show, when I came up for air. What?
Yeah.
But you can't see them underwater.
In the submarine.
In the submarine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So they're performing for the submarine.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember that they sat on the rocks for the guest passing by the submarine. That,
yeah. I think
a little bit of both.
What a challenging job to have to make next to no money on.
I mean, and imagine coming up for air.
That being that, part of your job description. So you're allowed to come up for air.
Remember. That is part of it. We don't want to have to hire someone new.
When I was coming up for air.
At Disneyland.
At Disneyland. Walt smoking as the two boys jump in.
He's smiling. He approves.
Boys, I thought about doing the same myself. as they're putting on their clothes and running.
They're like trying to get away from him, but he's like, he's totally cool with it. He's no problem.
Boys, you be nice to Gene and Sharon when they come up for air.
They told me they need to do that for some reason.
Hey, not yet. Get back down there. It hasn't been 5 minutes yet.
I'm sorry, Mr. Disney. I know you like it when I'm down there for a long time. I just can't. That's fine.
The contract doesn't say 4 minutes and 53 seconds, does it? It says 5 minutes.
Mr. Disney.
I have asthma. That's not real. Get back down there.
Mr. Disney, the sunlight on the lagoon is making rainbows under the water. That's fine, Gene.
It's the magic.
Don't worry about that, Gene.
A little extra magic for you.
Mr. Disney, the water here is a lot thicker than the pool we practiced in. Oh, Sharon, you'll get used to it. Just stay down there.
Keep your eyes closed.
They're describing it as these beautiful sirens of Disneyland.
But they just swim up.
No.
You're ruining the show, ladies.
Fun fact, you could hear Walt Disney tell the mermaids no every time they swam. No.
Have to wash them with Dawn soap when they get out because they're just coated in oil.
Walt Disney famously did not want to use the same technology the Weeki Wachee mermaids used so that way they could breathe. He said it ruined the illusion.
Yeah, they'll see the hose with the air. We can't do it.
And they are like, their legs are like tied together
by
the mermaid costume. And so, I mean, imagine you're down there with the submarine.
It's coming right at you.
Well, we couldn't do it for very long because they got sunburned. Oh, really? That's why. Okay, when I came up for air, I turned around, and there they were, about 10 feet away. They yelled, "Hey, honey," said Gene, who was seated on a rock in the lagoon waving to passerby. Then someone else yelled at them from shore, and I told them they had better get out of here. They looked pretty scared, and they swam away. Glick and Rathsom, who never did reach their goal, which doesn't really say what their goal was.
Oh, Walt knew.
This is why I told you to stay down, girls. You stay up for too long, the boys will come swimming towards you. What?
Yeah, I knew this would happen.
The boys were wearing Bermuda shorts. They had shed shoes, socks, and shirts before entering the water.
So they were ready.
They were stripped down.
Well, do you think they like planned for this? Did they show up with this idea?
Well, it was like a dare.
Oh, yeah, it was a bet.
Brony Cheesluck, in charge of submarine operations. That's Admiral Brony Cheesluck to you. Said one of his crew had reported by sub to shore radio that two boys were sitting in some bushes on the edge of the lagoon. The next thing I knew, they were swimming toward the mermaids. A news photographer, surprised by the situation, vainly tried to take a picture of Glick and Rathsom, finally locating them near the park's entrance. But their buddies interceded, advising Glick and Rathsom not to stand still for pictures. Now, this is not a problem and also not a solution either for people nowadays. If you get into some trouble and somebody has a camera around, you're
done. That's it. Yeah.
But back then, you see a camera and you tell your buddy, don't stand still.
Quick.
And they'll never get a good photo of you. You just start juking, just going left to right. And that shutter's 3 seconds long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, I just got a bunch of
blur. The photographer's only got so many bulbs with him.
Anyway. Right. It's not easy to reload, even with one of them little four-sided. Yeah. It spins with a new flash every time. I mean, even that.
Just keep ducking side to side. Don't let them take your picture. Imagine that. Imagine I have my iPhone and you're trying to duck side to side. Just click once, and it uses its software to create a perfect mold of your face.
Well, it's got five images that you didn't know it took. Right. It's got a burst.
Which
of
one
you.
Of these do you like? They didn't. Last time the youths were seen, they were racing across the Disneyland parking lot, running as fast as youth legs would carry them. I guess they just got away.
They got away with it. Well, they know the names. They must have got them later.
That's true.
Unless these are like, this is like a D.B. Cooper fake name. We still haven't got these two.
You think about the occupational hazard that it is for having mermaids in the, like, real mermaids in the lagoon.
Yeah, and that's crazy.
And then you just remember that that's the stuff he got. And he, and there's things that people said no to. And
right.
And my, you always come back to the fact that, that nobody ever questions this. He wanted to have live animals on the Jungle Cruise.
What other things didn't even make the light of day?
I mean, oh, the things that didn't even make the fun fact book?
Yeah, exactly.
They were too,
too
far.
Dangerous, too extreme.
He probably wanted a real shooting range in Frontierland.
I fully believe
yeah,
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Like a big one. And that's how he would be pitching it to everybody, where he's like, listen, kids love shooting guns, because I took my nephew out one day and that little sucker, he loves shooting up, and he'd be right. Again, it'd be, it's the same thing as driving a car. Kids love driving a car. Kids love shooting guns. Give them a real one. And it's like, that's the type of idea that maybe it could have been possible. I love taking Disneyland hit like history and just moving it like 20 years in either direction and just how different it could be. That's the Disneyland with real guns, you know?
Well, that's because you have to realize that like Disneyland could never come out at any other time. And that's what makes it magic. I mean, it's what makes anything in history. Like nothing could ever happen at a different time ever.
Mm-hmm.
Like Disneyland can't come out in 1945.
No, yeah, that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, you said 20 years. Imagine how depressing a 1930s Disneyland would be.
It's so gray. It's
the height of the Great Depression.
Come to the Casey's Corner for some grain.
That land, that's job land. It's where you could just go pretend you have a job. You haven't had for 4 years.
Kids want nothing more than for you to have a job.
The parents get to dress up in their factory gear like they've got the job.
Oh, just for the kids. They're so excited. They're so happy. Look at
them. What are they bringing? Is that dinner? Oh my gosh, it's a hot meal.
Well, then, I mean, Disneyland during the mid-40s is very awkward. Because it's like, hello, children and moms. So that was the first Disneyland security guard story.
Okay.
Not counting the one that punched that guy in the mouth.
That's
the,
more of an anecdote.
Right. The second one is not ruffians, but it's just something that Disneyland security had to deal with that I don't think in a million years you would be able to think of as an issue. But once I tell it to you, you're going to be like, oh, yeah, that must have happened every day.
Okay.
L.A. traffic tangles Ohio caravan. Goal abandoned. Two families from Dayton, Ohio, who drove more than 1,800 miles in a three-car caravan to see Disneyland are on their way home Monday without having seen Walt Disney's Magic Kingdom. The families got separated in Hollywood traffic last Thursday. For 3 days, Los Angeles police and the Disneyland security force tried without success to get them together. This is what happened. Donnie Fallis had to stop for a red light at a Hollywood intersection when the caravan arrived in town. Two of his four children were with him in the pickup truck. So he has two of his kids. It's a dad and two of his kids. His wife had their other two children in another car with her. She was following a third car containing Gene Yunt, his wife, and their five children. So two cars, one family split between two cars, and then a third car with a second family.
Okay. Right.
Make sense?
Yes. Yep.
The two lead cars continued on for a block and turned a corner to wait for Fallis, but that was the last they saw of him. They went to the Hollywood police station, where they camped in their cars for 3 days, waiting for him to show up. In the meantime, Fallis had driven on to Disneyland and informed officials he would be waiting in the parking lot when the others arrived, but they never did. Mrs. Fallis finally called relatives in Columbus, Ohio, Sunday. She learned her husband had called from Las Vegas to say he was on his way home.
What?
Okay, so do you understand what just happened?
I understand. Yes. I don't understand why it happened. Like,
okay, here's my question, Rob. What would you have done?
I would have gone to Disneyland.
But what if I'm overthinking it? And I'm thinking, how do I know they're going to Disneyland? Because at the point that you are in a 1950s caravan to Disneyland.
Right.
And you have been separated in traffic.
Which is the scariest thing that has happened in recent memory. Talk about if we get separated, we could be in really bad trouble.
Mrs. Fallis finally called relatives in Columbus, Ohio, Sunday. So it took them like 3 days of trying to locate one another. They've been sleeping in their car in the parking lot of the Hollywood police station. But they probably don't have enough money to just even get a hotel.
Right. Well, I feel like that was the times. Was like you didn't have to book your hotel in advance. You just go find a hotel where it had the vacancy sign lit up and you just went there.
I call a hotel two months in advance. Hey, I want to book a room for September. You know how you call like a restaurant now? You'll be like, hey, Longhorn, can I get a reservation? And they're like, you just got to show up. They're like, we can't do that. I'm like, come on, you're a fucking restaurant. Let me in. And they're like, nope. And then we just hang up. That's what hotels are doing back then. Hey, can I get a room? Yep, when you're here, boop. Finally, Mrs. Fallis picks up the phone and starts calling relatives in Columbus, Ohio. She's waiting at the police station. She waits there for 3 days. He waits there for a day and then drives home to Ohio without his wife and kids because, well, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Am I going to wait for her? But imagine this from the perspective of the Disneyland security guard that sees the situation. What do you do?
I don't think there's anything to do. because
that's what you say to this father.
You punch the dad in the mouth a few times.
Send him on his way. I'm fresh off that.
Bam, bam, bam. And then he goes to the police, and who's there but his wife? Perfect. He's in interrogation saying, I think this worked out for the best of everybody. I got to show him who's boss in front of all the other guests. Nobody else made a ruckus. No kids jumped in the lagoon that day after they saw me rough up that dad.
They knew it was serious.
And he went to the police station, and who was there but his wife, who had been waiting there for 3 days.
I just don't share the optimism that by day three, she's thinking husband's going to show up at the police station.
She's not. She's smart enough to call home and say, hey, is my husband called there? Because honestly, that's the smartest thing she was doing, was she was probably calling home every single day, where it's like, hey, has Donnie called recently? I can't find him. Because that is the only... That's like a proto cell phone, like direct connection is we'll both call someone we know and ask if they've spoken to them recently. And so she finally did that. And one time, like, yeah, we finally heard from him. He's in Vegas. And she's like, well, great. Okay, kids, get in the car. We're going home.
That's when she should have gone to Disney.
Maybe.
Husband's fine. He's going home. He had his pit stop at Vegas. Now just go on your vacation.
Well, he's using all of this as justification for why she cannot drive in the future.
Never driving again. Look, I took a risk on you, honey, and I ended up in Vegas hearing from the Johnsons that you were at the police station. You're never getting in that Buick ever again. Give me your keys. We're going to go driving in the ravine. It costs $200. It's the 50s. We're going to drive that right into the ravine. Give me your keys. We can't have you driving this anymore. I can't have you in another incident. You're going to end up in Cincinnati. I'm going to have to come get you. Yeah, I'm going to have to come get you because you don't. Well, honey, I gave you a shot. Here's the real Disneyland security incident that happened during Walt Disney's life. It involves Walt Disney.
Oh, boy. Yes.
So this is part of a Christian newspaper column called 3 Minutes a Day.
Oh, yeah.
By James Keller, who I assume is a reverend or pastor. And I assume they do this every day. It's like 3 minutes a day, and it's some sort of story. But I cross-checked, and this is something that was a true news story apart from this article. This just presents it in the funniest way.
Okay.
Walt Disney had difficulty getting into his own amusement park, Disneyland, one day because a guard didn't recognize him. Following instructions not to be fooled by impersonators who pose as officials, dignitaries, or relatives of the owner, conscientious guard refused to let him enter. To avoid any future embarrassment for guards or the owner of Disneyland, photographs of Mr. Disney have been placed all over the guard booths. This is a true story, supposedly.
Uh-huh.
And it's Walt Disney's reaction is not stated, but his solution, I think, implies his reaction, which was he was not pleased.
Right.
Because imagine Walt Disney, you're Walt Disney, and you built your big play set and staffed it with all these people who should be so lucky to be able to live here in your play set.
Yeah.
And you're trying to get in, and they're like, no, you can't get in. You know, like, I'm Walt Disney. I'm Walt Disney.
I mean, you can't even describe the fear that he must have been feeling in that moment. You don't even. It's like, do you know who you're talking to?
The fear of having to prove that you are Walt Disney And then the fear, and because the stakes are so high, because everything you love is right beyond in these there. Gates.
Yep.
Like your entire everything in the moment, even if it's not logical, his mind's probably like, I might never get in again. I might never.
I knew they were going to take it away from me. I
knew it was too good to be true.
And then immediate, like the passive aggressiveness of I'm going to print out 40 photos of myself and plaster them just so that way when this happens again in the future, because
that guard came to work the next day and he heard and he looks inside the booth and he sees Walt Disney with nails and hammers and big photos of himself.
Yeah.
Never again.
Yeah. Just so that way when he's there, he can point at them and be like, that's me.
But that's his reaction. But in the moment, how long do you think this interaction went? I mean, he goes up to the guard. He says, hey. And then he just gives a wave and sir, you can't be here. And he laughs it off. Now, that's a good one. I haven't heard that one. And then he tries to walk in. Sir, don't. I'm sorry. I need to see some ID. And he's like, are you kidding me? And he's like, and he like just points at the Disneyland. Yeah. He's like, it says it's my name right there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other part is Walt Disney could easily provide photo identification, but he won't.
Right.
This is his park. Yeah.
I don't show ID to walk into my house.
Of course.
Well, like, if it makes you feel better, he reaches for it and instead of his wallet, it's a pack of cigarettes. And he says, oh no, it must be in the other. And then it's another pack of cigarettes. And he just, every pocket, he's like, oh no, I put on my cigarette pants.
And the whole time the security guard is going, I've seen this before. I've seen this whole routine. Every single one of these Walt Disney impersonators that we get, apparently.
Right. I know.
It's a rule. I mean, it's
so that's good. The other part. Part of it is the reason is because they've had Walt Disney impersonators come before to Disneyland in the 50s to try to get in. I mean, imagine you're a guy that looks a little bit like Walt Disney.
It probably worked at least once, right?
Look, honey, I cut my mustache like Walt. Do you think they're going to let me in? They let me in. And today, the TikTok trend of people getting kicked out of the parks wearing tube tops. I got a free shirt because I wore nothing to Disney. But then it's like, I dressed just like Walt Disney. And now it's that TikTok voice. She just dressed just like Walt Disney and they let her in.
I can't believe it.
Here's how it happened. She looks just like Walt Disney. Watch her get into Disneyland. That happening again and again.
Family members of what? Yeah, I'm Jack Disney, everybody. Let me in.
Did Roy put you up to this? I don't know who Roy is. You're not allowed to be here. You son of a bitch. And he starts throwing hands. And he does those kind of old-timey punches where he's not really aiming. He's just easy to dodge.
Clubs
in the air.
He's going to thwack something eventually.
Oh, he winds up. But he's not joking. He's not happy.
Why, I oughta.
And he's like, sir, go to the pen. And he has to go sit on a bench with six other Walt Disney impersonators. I got you too, eh? It's like, you're not me, I'm me.
So it's your guys' fault.
I'm me, you're not me.
I mean, the absolute nerve of I'm going to pretend to be Walt Disney in Walt Disney's theme park that he's known to be in.
Right. He's known
to be about, what's that interaction going to look like when two men in gray suits that just come around the corner looking exactly the same.
Well, it's funny because Walt Disney is an impossible person to see today. And it's also his voice is an impossible voice to hear today.
Yeah.
Because there's so many things that have to create that skin and that the voice sound, like so much tobacco and so much
screaming at animators for 20 years straight. Right. There's a lot that goes into it.
So much walking asbestos ridden construction sites. And I mean, just so much in those lungs. And also the fact that the voice is always being filtered through like a treble heavy microphone.
Yeah.
So you never really, like if you heard Walt Disney, you'd be like, you're not Walt Disney. He's like, oh, it's happening again. I know. God, he freaks. He's like, no, it's me, I swear. And it's like, just because you're used to hearing, well, boys, I hope you have it. But really, yeah, it's
the sizzle in the back.
Well, boy, oh, that's a good song, Mr. Sherman. Maybe play another. And but you hear him in real life. He's like, well, Mr. Sherman, maybe.
Yeah, Walt Disney without like the nice Disney music bed under him.
Then it makes total sense that the guard, wasn't going to let him in.
True, because that's how
for the first time.
Yeah. I'm Walt Disney. Walt Disney's on TV every night. I can do a better Walt Disney than that. Get in the back of the line.
Close, but no cigar. You know, a Walt in quotation.
It'll be $2. You son of a, I'm not paying a dime to get in here.
He has the money. He will not pay.
I will put a photo of me in every guard booth. You got to let me into my big play set. And I bet he went up to that guard and just fired him on the spot when he got, you did this to yourself, Sonny. You
my
did
Walt Disney now, you son of a bitch, huh?
Oh, I can't fire you. I'm not Walt. You're fired. You just take that deep breath after you get back on Main Street. You're like, oh, I never want to go through that again. I gotta go find 12 photographs of myself to stick them in every guard booth.
That's when he started living at Disneyland.
Right. He's like,
I'm never leaving again.
Can't kick me out.
It's like he knows he's getting away with something. He knows that people, like, there's someone somewhere that doesn't think this should be allowed.
Yeah, that's his equivalent of, like, hiding in the embassy of, like, another country. I'm just never going to leave, ever.
We need help with Yonder We Boys, your new live action movie. And he's like, I don't give a shit about that movie. Walt, we need ideas for movies. I don't care. Like, it's a dog. It's a dog. Make a dog movie. Oh, like the Shaggy Dog? Whatever.
Walt didn't just forgot that he makes movies. He's like, I don't want that to be what our company is anymore.
Walt, we need to make another movie. Make another Shaggy Dog movie. We never made a sequel once. Well, he's a doctor. He's Shaggy DA. He's a detective. I don't care. Just, I'm not coming out. He's on the other side of a door. Like
it's a hostage situation, except he's just seized the hostage.
As they siege the fire station to get Walt Disney out, he's barricaded himself again.
I knew they would come for me. I knew they would eventually say, because I knew it. This shouldn't be allowed. I knew I was pressing my luck. I knew it. I knew they were going to get me. I kept my head down and went into the movie studio today, and everybody there hates me, and they all... you can't pay us, but you can put gold on the top of your castle. I just duck down. Like, I just gotta sign a few documents to get the hell out of here. I gotta meet with the Sherman brothers for like 5 minutes, and then I'm going back. Feed the birds. That's great. I gotta get out.
He hasn't listened to a Sherman brothers song in 10 years. He just signs off on everything.
What do you think about this? Let's go. Perfect. Great, gotta get out.
Perfect.
Perfect.
I think they got away with doing that same thing over and over.
I mean, Walt Disney walks onto the Burbank lot, and everybody starts like organizing.
What was the Christian message of that story?
Oh, right.
Why was
no matter how high any of us may rise in our little worlds or big worlds, something invariably pops up to remind us that the road to worldly fame and fortune has its limitations. Rather than spend too much,
until you fire the person. Who reminded you of that limitation, and then it's gone again.
He did calm himself down until he read the 3 minutes a day, which he reads every day, which he says to Lillian is going to church, by the way, because he's not leaving.
He even forgave the guy. Yeah. The son of a bitch. Fire him right now.
He's like, you know what? I calm down. You're fine. And then he goes home. And then the next day he reads in the paper, no matter how high any of us may rise in our little worlds or big worlds, something literally pops up to remind us that the road to worldly fame and fortune has its limitations. Oh, that's it.
Oh, man. He's out.
He closes it. Okay, there's more. Rather than spend too much time and effort striving for temporal honors and distinctions that others can easily overlook or ignore, this going hard. Think, pray, and work in the long range of eternity. Oh, no man can ever take the true glory that God will give you for a life of serving others in his name. Quote, you shall seek me and shall find me when you shall seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29:13. May we always remember, O Lord, that nothing short of you will ever satisfy us. We'll see about that. he's reading the daily column, and that's the first time he's confronted the fact that he is acting as God a little bit. Especially if he's reading it from the fire station. He's looking out upon the small town he created.
He's feeling that power. He's feeling that kinetic energy. It's going through his body.
He's at the crossroads where he says, I can either shut it all down, which is not an option.
We know it's not an option.
I'm stating that there is a crossroads. I'm not saying I'm going to do it because I'm not. Or I just go straight up and I just build a city, a real one, a big one. And then I am God. limitations. I wonder if that was what, like, that has to be like a trick he tried to pull when he's like, they're like, you're not Walt Disney. Oh yeah, would the fake Walt Disney do this? And he just starts puffing a bunch of like, he just puts six cigarettes in his mouth and makes a smile, lights them all at once. Well, in his face, would the fake Walt Disney do that? I don't think so. He'd probably hold a balloon. I'm real. He's pinching himself. How am I fake? Show me how I'm. Am I?
Look, honey. Look, I'm gonna get next to the TV. Check it out. Look, I look just like him. I swear. We go down there this summer. I think I'm gonna try it. I'm gonna try and get in. I'm gonna wear my suit.
We'll take both cars. We'll get the Johnsons.
We'll just caravan over. Yeah, it'll be easy.
It'll be easy to get there.
No problem. Just follow me. Well, what if I get lost? You're not going to get lost. Just get in the car.
We don't need a plan B. Go, go, go.
What if the reason that they didn't let him into the park was because one of the Walt Disney impersonators had already made it through?
I think that's the implication.
And when he does eventually get in, it is like a movie moment where this Walt Disney is like leading the parade.
Yeah. Because, yeah, immediately he's like a magnet. He's like just a Disneyland visitor magnet because they all know, of course. And if you don't know, you're going to find out.
He's signing autographs. And you could tell, like, there's photos of Walt signing autographs at Disneyland. He's having a good time. So when he sees fake Walt signing autographs,
he's really angry. I'd like to imagine that real Walt would see the fake Walt and would tackle. Yeah.
No, yeah.
And then they tussle, and then the guard comes up with a gun. He's like, no, I'm the real Walt. Shoot him. Shoot him. I'm the real Walt.
No, fella, I'm the real Walt Disney. And he's like, no, I'm the real one. He's the one that's actually absolutely hysterical is the real Walt Disney. Okay, fine. A name an attraction in Fantasyland. And it's like, oh, and when the fake Walt Disney says, Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. And then the real Walt Disney's like,
the one with Mr. Toad.
The one with Cinderella. I don't know. I don't know.
Get him out of here.
No. I can tell you. Just
pop him a couple times. Get back in the car. Get out of here.
No.
We see your type all the time, these fake Walt Disneys.
Because you'd see Walt Disney, he'd be walking around, like, even on the TV show, he's walking around the models, and he's like, this here is what we call the haunted house. and then, like, X Intensio would be like, it's the haunted mansion, Walt. And he's like, you're a cut-up, X. And so imagine trying to prove, you don't know anything. You've just been pointing and winking at people, and this whole place got built around you. But the guy that's trying to impersonate you has done his homework. Right. I mean, what a nightmare. What's the name of the Monsanto exhibit? Oh, well, of course, it's the Monsanto House of the Future. What's the name of the flight simulator in Tomorrowland? Moonliner to the Rocks. Dang it. He'd be like, what? These don't have names. You just point to them.
Spacefly. Something like this.
He's just like, you're doing this on purpose. If you asked me any of the names of the Main Street buildings, I can nail them. That's where I hang out. Ask Davy Crockett. Go get Davy Crockett. He'll know.
He'll recognize me. He can tell the difference, I think, I hope. Fully psychotic. Well, furiously angry. Like, you can't contain it.